WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively into a pennant race. I mean, a legitimate, honest to God pennant race. And I have to start calling the team from Cleveland by their current name. The Mighty Guardians are in, and Luke Jones has been monitoring all things, Yankees and playoffs and pitching and Grayson Rodriguez and John Means and Mike Elias sitting in dugouts. All of this happens with the notion that we're really good, off to the greatest start since Earl Weaver and like all of this stuff. And then Cedric Mullins pulls. Luke, I would say to you more than anything, if you're a Ravens fan, as we go into OTAs and you're going to be mandatory and stuff, when guys get hurt in Owings Mills and you say, oh my God, Dennis Pitta came down wrong, or oh my God, this happened, or these weird things that happen, this happens before your very eyes with a guy who's run the first base, oh, a million times. And for whatever reason, slow twitch, fast twitch, muscle, this, that, all of us pick up something the wrong way in the garage, or I know you were out mowing the lawn over the weekend. It's freaky, injuries in humans and betting on this stuff and Mike Elias going all in and us thinking we have something. And Cedric Mullins going to be out for a couple weeks. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know officially as of, the Orioles waking up Monday morning, but very much when you have an issue where it's leg related, groin, quad, hamstring, anything like that, I mean, you can pretty safely assume there's going to be a 10-day IL stint, right? And
You
that
use the G
doesn't.
word. Once you see groin, I've been on the air 31 years. Mention groin, and every guy goes, oh, can't play today. Understand. Whether it's golf, tennis, pinochle, whatever you're playing, I can't play today.
And you saw it, and it was unfortunate because, I mean, the Orioles were trailing late. It was the eighth inning of Monday's 5-0 loss to the Guardians, and he grounds the ball to deep short, and at first blush it looked like he wasn't running all that hard, but it's 5-0, and guys sometimes look. We always want guys to run out ground balls as hard as they can, but
I don't want him getting hurt in a 5-0 game.
they blow out more hamstrings when that happens. So I'll just remind everyone of that. But so it looked like the kind of ball that he was going to beat out. And then obviously everyone saw him just stop a few steps short of first base. And you're just thinking, oh no. I mean, look, everything else we've talked about from losing 3 out of 4 to the bats going cold since the big comeback win in the Bronx to even talking about John Means and Grayson Rodriguez, those were, the first two things I mentioned were ebbs and flows of a baseball season that happens to any team, right? What I mentioned with John Means and Grayson Rodriguez, that was still much more of a big picture because even with Grayson Rodriguez not pitching incredibly well at the major league level, the Orioles are still winning games, right? So it's not like it was this major short-term crisis. But you take Cedric Mullins out of the equation, especially for an offense that has struggled a little bit of late. And again, that's not to push the panic button just because that was happening. But let's face it. Adley Rutschman, yes, he's the face of the franchise. Yes, I still believe he's the best player on this club, but you look in terms of wins above replacement. You look in terms of runs batted in this year. You look in terms of being at or near the top of every club leader being the leader of every major category for the club, somewhere near the top. I mean, that's how good Cedric Mullins has been. Fantastic defense in center field, 13 stolen bases. I mean, go down the list. He has probably been their best player through the first 2 months of the season. And I don't say that lightly with what Rutschman has done, with what Austin Hayes has done, with what Yennier Cano has done in the bullpen. So he's been that good and he's that important to what they do. So when you see that happen late in a 5-0 loss, I mean, you never want to, you could be up 10-0 and that happens and you hate seeing it. But especially in a loss, it's just one of those. You exhale and you say, oh no. So you hope for the best. You hope the fact that Mullins wasn't running as hard as he possibly could the entire way down the line, perhaps that was a sign of him making a smart decision of, oh, this doesn't feel right. And then he just flat out stopped. You hope maybe that means it's not quite as serious rather than he tried to run through the bag and then something pops and you're done for 2 months. I don't know. Again, it's pure speculation at this point, but you've got to be careful with it. Obviously, they're going to be cautious with someone whose speed is such a big part of what he does anyway. But it's unfortunate because he has just been so good for them. We've talked about it. I wrote about him at BaltimorePositive.com just last week about the season he's having and how important he's been to everything they do. I mean, you look at him.
He's their Lamar Jackson.
He's not quite that important, but he's really, really important. So you look at him, though. On pace to set a new career high in walks. I mean, he's walked more. He's cut down on the strikeouts a touch.
Speed part of his game, that Aparicio, Bumbry, Brady, you know, the guys that could get on base and make things happen. Yeah. And I would say this as a recovering Strat-O-Matic player. You know, I didn't play all that rotisserie back in the day where idiots were valuing stolen bases the same as home runs in a competitive league 30 years ago before computers came and all that stuff. But I would say the new game, the 2023 game, that my wife and I are still getting used to 2 hour and 20 minute baseball games, a guy on second base, and like all of these things, that the speed part of the game really makes his value. He's more than, you know, a rook or a knight. He's more like a queen on a chessboard because speed, to me, it's the biggest addition in the game over the last 60 days is saying, you know, this would play into the old Freddie Patek, Aparicio, you know, Maury Will, you know, fast guys would be of much more value. And in a ballpark where, to your point, they stopped hitting the ball a little bit, but they moved the fences back. So I don't know. You're going to get gobbled up to some degree playing more of a speed game and more of a doubles, triples game and more of a gap game. Offensively, Mullins is even more important to the team than any of the guys I've mentioned because the rules have changed.
Well, there's not just that, but there's also speed on the other side of the ball, too, where you now have an outfield at Camden Yards where before it was, okay, center field, right? Left field, short porch. Right field, you've got the out-of-town scoreboard that down the line is only, what, 318. So you didn't really need fantastic athletes playing left and right field. But that's a different equation now because you have Austin Hayes who could fill in a little bit in center field. But you like Austin Hayes being in left field, covering that massive left field now and handling that wall. So it's not just Mullins on the base pass or Mullins with the bat. It's also his defense in center field. And how do you compensate for that? So the rough timing with this is you look at AAA Norfolk and you know the timeline's not supposed to be too long, but Colton Cowser, who was off to such a great start at Norfolk and has played so much center field at the AAA level, on the 7-day IL here recently. So that doesn't mean he can't be in that equation, and that doesn't mean he won't even get the call because Mike Elias even said recently he wasn't going to be out long, but unfortunate timing there because the silver lining here could have been Colton Cowser, who has been knocking on the door pretty loudly for a while to make his major league debut as a former first-round pick. He could have stepped right into that role or at least been a big part of that role for the Orioles in the time.
And injuries right now, God, right? We're talking about just in general, it's 8 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
It's 14, 15 weeks into the life cycle of, you know, hitting the fields down in Florida in February and March and doing all that. And these 24, 25, 26-year-old guys, it's not football, but it's hard. It's really hard. And I haven't been around it 17 years. Well, I was a little bit in 15 running around and whatever. But, like, on the grind level of you eating hot dogs in the press box, it's about to get hot outside, right? I mean, like, all of that. And you look up and you're in this pennant race, and we're just going to be talking about – injuries and gutting it out now. We really are. Pitching, and we're at the Ravens point of week 8 and who's healthy and can Ronnie Stanley get on the field, and you know Humphrey has a hamstring issue. Oh my God, you know, like these are real issues for the team, and this is where depth, Elias's experience, all of this, how management. And I shouldn't say it's Brandon High because I know better than to think the manager just – this isn't the era of Davey Johnson just making decisions. These are all innings, time, sleep, rest, Adley Rutschman not playing for a minute, you know, not riding them the way they rode Matt Wieters early on. And then, to your point, even the second level, we're calling on the Calvary and our guys hurt. And I know Holiday's coming right now, right? Not close, but like – all of these prospects, I see them all over my timeline. Everybody's running out to watch them play and putting pictures up, and kids are getting autographs. It's awesome. It's like, but the reality is it's not easy. It's not easy keeping these guys healthy, man.
It's not, and it's not an Orioles only problem. It's across baseball. I mean, guys get hurt. You know, so many times as fans and even media, you think of these guys as commodities, right? And look, front offices view these guys in terms of their value, right? I mean, that's especially with the salary cap in sports or whatever, you know, arbitration, whatever it might be. But this is a reminder that, yeah, Cedric Mullins is a human being that now it might happen to you or me working out in the backyard and you bend the wrong way as you're mulching your flower bed as I did over the weekend, and my hamstring was a little tight the next day. It just speaks to me getting older,
Oh, it speaks that
but
you need some more DDP yoga in your life. That's what
exactly,
it means.
exactly. That's very true. But in the case of Cedric Mullins, who's this phenomenal athlete, and everything he does is in regards of optimizing his body, you're still going to have some injuries that happen. And look, I mean, that happens elsewhere. I mean, Tampa Bay, for as much as the Rays have gotten off to a great start, they've lost some guys. They've lost some pitchers. You know, even some guys they've lost long term. So that's part of it. That's why, as you mentioned, so important to have that depth. And look, I mean, Colton Cowser, we're talking about him right now. He could be in Baltimore in a week. You know, he could be in
I hope
Baltimore
he
as you and
is,
I, you
right?
know,
And that
someone's
kid's worked
listening to this at
hard,
this
right?
point.
He's waited his
But
turn. And this is on, I mean, it sucks about Mullins, but it's even worse that the kid can't answer the call right now and be up here playing this week, right?
exactly. And in the meantime, you know, is it going to be a little more Ryan McKenna in center field? Does Hayes move over? But if Hayes moves over, who's playing left? Again, that's not just plug in DJ Stewart like it was in the past, right? I mean, you need an athlete to play left field. You really do at this point in time. You kind of need two center fielders. I mean, that's where it is playing at Camden Yards in 2023. So, you know, is it Ryan McKenna a little more, probably. Do they call up someone like Daz Cameron, who has a little bit of major league experience, but you'd have to make a 40-man roster move? Yeah, that's quite possible. But regardless, and even if it is Colton Cowser here sooner rather than later, and even if he has an impressive debut here and plays so well that he sticks at the major league level, you're going to miss Cedric Mullins, whether he's out 10 days, whether he's out to, you know, long, a little bit longer than that. You know, you hope it's not a long-term injury. And I think the early indications were they were at least cautiously optimistic that this wasn't something that was awful, like an awful, awful injury. But certainly seeing him pull up, seeing him limp to the dugout, it's the last thing you wanted to see after what was a, you know, pretty listless offensive performance by the Orioles on Monday. But again, the big picture, Cedric Mullins, you hope that, you know, whatever he was feeling, you know, he didn't push it. And you hope that he's only going to be out here a little while, but with a groin injury, you know, one, that's a tough injury to you. You alluded to it. It's a tough injury anyway, but especially for someone who relies so heavily on his speed, you have to be extra cautious with Mullins in that way. So tough not to think that he's not going to miss, you know, at least a couple weeks here, and we'll see what happens after that. But in the meantime, yeah, you got to lean on your depth, and you need other guys to step up, and you need other guys to start swinging the bat better and continue to ride that bullpen and hope that, you know, you get good outings like they still were able to get from Tyler Wells, even in a losing effort on Monday afternoon.
Kind of a weird road trip coming up, going out to San Francisco, going out to Milwaukee. You know, I look up, I'm out having lunch. I look up and like the Nationals are playing the Royals. You know, it is interesting from a fan base standpoint that we're doing this like West Coast thing this weekend. People can be staying up late, and we got a real pennant race in June. I think back to like Roberto Alomar era to think about it in these terms. And I know you talk about 14 was the year that they were, but man, even that's going on 10 years ago. Just been a long time. And you talked pitching before, and we talked about that. As far as the hitting of the team right now and this sort of slumber that they've fallen into, not going to help without Mullins.
Right. I mean, that's what's so unfortunate. He's such a catalyst for them. And that's, you know, that's a term that you use about any leadoff hitter. But when you look at the on-base percentage, I mean, he drew two walks on Monday, even his on-base percentage, .356. I mean, he's got an on-base percentage that's nearly 100 points higher than his batting average. That tells you that's someone who has a good approach at the plate. Even if, yeah, he's got some strikeout to his game. Just about everyone does in 2023. But he's drawn more walks. He's worked counts. He's had good quality at-bats pretty consistently. And he hasn't been as great as he was 2 years ago when he went 30-30. And certainly now, I mean, he's not going to get a 30-for-30 or 30-30 with this injury that we expect he's going to miss at least a little bit of time. But he's just so important in what they do. And again, Adley Rutschman, from the moment Adley was drafted 1-1 4 years ago, he was the face of this new era, right? I mean, that was just inevitable. But Mullins has been, for me, he's kind of been a little bit of the heart of where they've been. I mean, you think back to where he was 4 years ago. I mean, he was at Triple A, demoted 4 years ago, and even got sent down to Double A. It was 4 years ago. That's how recent that was that he struggled that badly, where his career was at a crossroads because he had a new regime and everything. That, you know, they didn't draft him. Michael Elias didn't draft him. Brandon Hyde wasn't around when they drafted him, but he worked his way back, and he's taken so many bullets, you know, taken so many of those awful 13-4 games and position players pitching. It felt like once a week or twice a week. I mean, that's how bad the Orioles were for those few years. And, you know, guys like him and Hayes and, you know, Mountcastle, guys that have kind of lived it, you know, they lived the very lean years, and to now come out on the other side, that's where you just feel so good for him. And then when you lose him, as the Orioles did on Monday, and again, you hope that it's not long-term, it's a reminder of just how important he is. And hey, they need other guys to step up. I mean, Austin Hayes has swung the bat great of late. You know, Santander's had a much better May than April. That's clear. You know, Mountcastle's had his moments, but at the same time, he's got a .271 on base percentage. I mean, he's not walking at all. And, you know, some other guys in the lineup, you know, Jorge Mateo, great in April. He's been awful in May. I mean, just one extreme to the other. So you got to find a little more consistency. Adam Frazier's been a very pleasant surprise for them, but need some guys to step up. You need Gunnar Henderson to, he's kind of showed some signs off and on the last couple of weeks of coming out of it. But I think now's the time where you point to someone like him and say, okay, it's time to get going, because you're going to need some more consistent contributions elsewhere with Mullins being out here, at least for a little while.
Well, none of these other guys are in that Rodriguez situation to sort of play themselves out of the big leagues, right? I mean, I don't know how bad any of the guys you've mentioned, Hayes, Mountcastle, certainly not Rutschman, none of these guys are the guys. They have to be dudes. They are the guys. To your point, dude, they're playing .650 ball, right? Like, yeah, consistently here over a year, not over 6 weeks. Going back to when Rutschman came up, they're a legitimate 95 win kind of outfit, even with the pitching they have, even with whatever Gibson replacing last, you know, all of these guys that you'd say they're just guys, and we need a Rodriguez. We need somebody to step up and be the guy every fifth day to be an ace. I don't know if we got anything we call that, but all of these bats all have this unlimited potential to be all-star players, and you're waiting for it to all come together. And then you start to see, well, Mullins gets hurt and Rodriguez is disappointment and Means isn't coming. And we start to talk about the real news as we turn into June. The real news is they're playing .650 ball by hook or by crook. They didn't do it by accident to some degree. You know, the Mateo has to come back. The Frazier probably won't be maybe as good as we've seen, but we'll see. Right. I mean, start comparing the Brian Roberts. You start to, you know, that's a different place, but for Hayes, Henderson, Rutschman, these guys have to be it. There's nobody else coming over the hill. There's nobody else coming over the hill for Mullins right now.
Well, I mean, there are others potentially coming. I mean, you have Jordan Westberg, you have Colton Cowser, who, as I mentioned, on the IL, but not expected to be a long-term kind of thing, you know, a little more of a days, not weeks kind of scenario for him. So you have them, but they're rookies, right? I mean, they're prospects. Again, they could come up and rake. I mean, we saw Adley Rutschman. He struggled for about 2.5 weeks when he was called up to the majors. And since then, he's been consistent. That doesn't mean he's Babe Ruth every single day or every single week, but he's always drawing walks, right? He's always having good at bats. He's being productive, doubles, hitting home runs, whatever it is. So, you know, it's a lot to ask a young guy, even guys that are legitimate serious prospects, like I just mentioned, with Kowser and Westberg, and they've got other guys, that are a little bit further away. But you get my point. But that's where, I think we've focused so much on the pitching side, and rightfully so, and specifically the starting pitching as it pertains to the deadline. I'll throw this out there, and I'm not saying that it's a definitive yes or no. Is there a move to be made? And again, so much of this, and Elias acknowledges, so much of this depends on who is a buyer, who is a seller at the deadline. You have three wild card spots, right? You have a much more open path to getting to the postseason. How are front offices going to approach that? Are they going to view themselves in terms of we're in it, or are we not really in it and we want to build for the future? So, but my question is, we've talked about starting pitching. Is there a potential bat that becomes available at some point where, and that's not to say that Cedric Mullins is out in still out in July. I'm not suggesting that, but is there a move to be made there where you acquire another bat to augment what you have, whether it's, a DH type, a corner outfielder, whatever it might be, and I'm not saying they have to do that, but I'm posing the question because of what you just said. They are a team that's been playing 600 plus ball for a long time now. This is not a fluke at this point. We can say that, okay, maybe thinking they're going to win 100 games might be a little fluky, but they're not a 78 win team either, right? They're legit. They're very legit. So in terms of that, what decisions do you want to make as an organization with your farm system, with resources that theoretically at least should be available to augment what you do? How hard do you want to push that? Doesn't mean, let's be very clear, I'm not trading Jackson Holliday at all right now. However, are there other guys in my system that I would be willing to part with if I can acquire a starting pitcher that maybe has not just this year, but next year in terms of a contract or club control? Is there a bat that fits a certain spot in my lineup that could really help me out? So, these are the things that Mike Elias and Sig Meidel and the Orioles front office are weighing right now, because, Brandon Hyde said it and Elias alluded to it as well, that, look, they've played so well, but you don't know what's going to happen. Again, Mullins getting, pulling up lame on Monday late in the game was just an example of what can happen. So you don't want to be too satisfied with where you are and saying, okay, well, we don't need to do anything. I don't think that's the right mindset. I think the proper mindset is finding that balance between excitement of where you are right now, where you're heading long-term as an organization in terms of your system and your minor league players, all of that. But also feeling the proper amount of urgency to take advantage of where you are right now. Got a heck of a chance here to make it to the postseason. And that doesn't mean that I'm all in to the degree that maybe I'd be all in 2 years from now when these guys all are a little more experienced and a little bit better, and you've added some more guys from the farm system. But at the same time, it's not always linear, right? It's not always, we win 82 games and then we win 86 games and then we win 90 and then, we're at 95 plus and then that's our chance to win a World Series. It doesn't always work out that way. So
it's not also to say that August 15th, Rodriguez has his act together, Mullins is healthy, Kowser comes up and plays his way on, there's so much that could go right. And Elias pulls a string and next thing you know, Jim Palmer comes in and pitches. I'm making that up. But this could look very differently in August, but I would also say by August, they're going to look like a 6-15 team. Oh my God. They're only playing 6-10 ball. Gosh, they're even if they flatten out even more, they've given themselves when the Ravens start the season 6-1, you buy yourself a little bit of rope to figure it out in June. And dude, if you look at their schedule, they have weird West Coast trips in August and September, yeah. Like long trips. They have things going on. They're going to play in front of nobody in Oakland in late August in front of 500 people and that whole mess that's going on out there. It's a long season, but to try to project what they're going to be in August, I'm still hopeful. I'm not a guy that thinks that Rodriguez can't turn it around, but I'm also not an optimist to think like I'm penciling him in August or any of this in August. But I do think that they've got enough moxie lately to figure this out.
Right. And I think the resolve that they've shown, even going back to the second half of last year, I mean, how many times that, they'd lose a game, they'd go through a tough stretch and you'd say, okay, It was a nice run, but it's over.
But
And
they're
they
not,
kept
they're
coming back
probably
even
not very
last year.
good to begin with. We don't feel that way when they lose three now, right?
Exactly. And no one should. And again, our conversation coming out of the weekend, some negative things happened. So we had to talk about it, right? But there's still so much to be excited about. And I'll leave you with this, because we were just talking about record and projecting out where they might be. This team could go 500 the rest of the way from, the conclusion of the loss on Memorial Day, go 500 the rest of the way from that point. They're an 88 win team, which, not saying that that's parade worthy, but that right there might, I don't know, might get you into as the last wild card
A
alone.
lot would
So
have to go
I'm not.
wrong for them to play 500 the rest of the way, right? They Mullins would have to be the beginning of Rutschman. There would be, there'd have to be a spate of really bad things to happen because I'm convinced they will do something. Seeing Elias's resolve in the dugout, and he hasn't gone down the hallway to John to ask for money ever. That this might be a good time to do that, and I would
I
hope
sure
that
hope so.
John, for all of his shortcomings as a man of integrity, at least wants to win at this point, and feels like they can win. I would hope there's some level of confidence inside of what they're doing that they're selling to the fans that they will react accordingly in a really professional, big league way, in a way they haven't in a long time to say, we want to win in October for the players on the team too. You know what I mean? They're going to be watching too. They want Adley Rutschman wants to know you're not going to be talking about 2026 if we got 94 wins this year or 95 wins this year, wherever that number would be, or 100 wins. My God, right? They're on this sick pace right now. But if they're that good of a team 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, when Mullins is back and we'll check in on where Rodriguez and Means and all the rest of this is, I they've earned my confidence, and that hasn't been easy to do. To think that this is real and not, I'm not a naysayer. I'm someone that thinks, yeah, the boat hit the rocks. You're going to figure it out. Let's see. If you don't figure it out, I'll come back at you in September and say, how did you fall apart? How did this happen? I don't think, I don't, I can't envision that happening. Can you?
The one thing that I would envision that could really make this thing go in a not so great direction would just be the bullpen. They lean so hard on those guys. And look, I mean, Brandon Hyde gets a lot of criticism. I think some of it's fair sometimes. Other times, it's just a case of you can't pitch Batista every night. You can't pitch Cano every night.
But
You
they
can't
haven't
even
blown
have
a
these
lot of
guys
games,
warming up
that
in the
being said,
bullpen every night.
right?
They haven't. They haven't. But you also know when you're leaning this hard and we're just turning the calendar to June, you've got 4 months to go. So that's where I said, you either need to get a little more out of your starters. You either need to fortify. And look, it might be adding another bullpen arm. And look, Brandon Hyde was part of that Cubs team that added Aroldis Chapman. And we saw how big he was for them in winning a World Series. But you're either going to need more length, a little more consistent starting pitching, more bullpen depth, or how about this? Blow teams out every now and then. How about that? The bats come alive and win a few more laughers every now and then. I mean, really, you need a combination of all those things. But that's where I look at the bullpen, and just we saw it even last year. With Jorge Lopez being traded at the deadline, and they wilted a little bit. And I'd be remiss, I haven't even mentioned this, and apologies to you and anyone listening. We not just John Means, but we found out Dylan Tate, a little bit of a stress reaction in his elbow. His rehab hadn't been going well anyway, so I was wondering if there was something going on with him. Doesn't mean he shut down long term, but they're waiting for him still, and he would be someone who could certainly help their bullpen over the second half of the season. So, but again, all of those, well, look, we're scrimmaging. This is what Mike Elias and his team does. This is what Eric DaCosta and the front office and John Harbaugh do. You scrimmage all the different scenarios of not just what can go right, but also what can go wrong and how you're going to adjust to that. And yeah, the Orioles met a couple of those scenarios over the weekend, but 14 games over 500 at the end of the day on Memorial Day, you're sitting pretty and you're in good shape. And even if things do get a little rocky for a while as you're missing Mullins or trying to figure out who's going to step up in his absence, hopefully not too long, you've got a little bit of cushion here. Not to take it for granted, but They're in a really good spot. So yeah, it way better dealing with this being a 34-20 outfit than being a team that is, oh, I don't know, four games under 500 right now, which is, you know, still way better than where the Orioles have been here in recent years.
I want it duly noted right here as spring turns to summer and we, you know, make the leftover macaroni salad from our Memorial Day parade, that I am more bullish and positive in a Baltimore positive way about the Orioles. Luke, I want this noted that you don't think it's good enough that they win. They now have to blow out more teams. I just want to make
that
sure
is not,
that is what we need them to blow out more teams all of a sudden.
You are twisting my words. I said that if you want to maintain the health of this, the health and effectiveness of this bullpen all year long, you'd like some deeper starts. And if you can blow out a few more teams, then you don't have to use Cano and Batista every single night. And then thus that will keep them healthy for the long term. That will keep them effective for the
Baltimore
long term.
Baltimore Luke says more blowouts
that.
Are good.
You don't need. I am not talking about style
Dude,
points
maybe
or
we
bonus
can move
points
the wall
here.
in the seventh inning when we bat. Maybe we could do that. Move the wall.
There
back
you go. Right.
Just
left. Put it on wheels. Right.
By the way, we got a whole segment about moving the wall and the good, the bad, and the ugly in us at some point. Luca will be moving the wall in and out, eating hot dogs and having fun out at Camden Yards while the Orioles and the Ravens continue to lock me out. But that's okay. He's having a good time. They're winning and they're OTAing. He will be in Owings Mills and at Camden Yards when allowed. And I will be here at AM 1570 manning the mothership, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're taking the parade back out on the road. We were in Falston at the local last week. Luke had Jay Ellenby out. I thought we were going to talk about business travel and islands to go to and old Oriole trips. And it turns out that all he wanted to talk about was me running by his front door in my underwear back in 1996. Jay Ellenby was a part of that. Our friends at Window Nation also sponsoring it. And just a delicious crab cake, amazing cheese steak, egg roll, and a delicious chicken sando. With the coleslaw right on it. The local up in Falston had a good time up there. Had some winners as well with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Luke's at the ballpark. Luke is in Owings Mills. I am here. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive and more blowouts.